नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, Chapter 3, entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations, Text number 4. Pashyantyado rupadabhra chakshusha sahasrapado rubhujananadbhutam सहस्रमूर्धश्रवणाक्षिनासिकम् सहस्रमौल्यं वरकुण्डलोल्लसत्। पश्यन्ति सी अधः द फॉर्म ऑफ द पुरुष रूपं फॉर्म अदभ्र परफेक्ट चक्षुषा बाय द आईज सहस्रपाद थाउजेंड्स ऑफ लेग्स उरु थाईज भुज आनना हैंड्स एंड फेसेस अद्भुतम वंडरफुल सहस्र थाउजेंड्स ऑफ मूर्ध हेड्स श्रवण ईयर्स अक्षी आईज नासिकम नोजेस सहस्र थाउजेंड्स मौली गार्लैंड्स अंबर ड्रेसेस कुंडल इयररिंग्स उल्लसत ऑल ग्लोइंग। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purusha, who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms and faces, all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. Translation responsively. The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purusha, who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms and faces, all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. Purport. With our present materialized senses, we cannot perceive anything of the transcendental Lord. Our present senses are to be rectified by the process of devotional service, and then the Lord Himself becomes revealed to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the transcendental Lord can be perceived only by pure devotional service. So, it is confirmed in the Vedas that only devotional service can lead one to the side of the Lord, and that only devotional service can reveal Him. In the Brahma Samhita also it is said that the Lord is always visible to the devotees whose eyes have been anointed with the tinge of devotional service. So we have to take information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen Him with perfect eyes smeared with devotional service. In the material world also, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. If that is the process for experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in matters transcendental. So only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the Absolute Truth and His different forms. He is formless to the neophytes, but He is in transcendental form to the expert servitor. Om Akhyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is very interesting, titled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. So as we know, Srimad Bhagavatam is like the literary incarnation of Krishna. There is no difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. So it takes practice and submissive attitude to realize that. And on our own, with our own expertise or skills, it's very hard. But with the help and mercy of Guru and Krishna, then everything becomes revealed. So this particular chapter, there are different incarnations, they are listed. So these first four verses, previous three and today's verse, so here there is a description of the Purusha avatars. So there are three Purusha avatars. Karna Dakshai Vishnu, who lies in the Karanjal or the causal ocean, and then he is the form. When we say, "Oh, God is greater than the greatest, and He can be smaller than the smallest," so when we say greater than the greatest, so the greatest or the biggest form we can conceive is like the Mahavishnu, who is just lying on the Karanjal. Causal ocean. So he's so massive that universes are emanating from his pores. So pores of skin, if you see your skin, you can't see the pores with microscope maybe. But the pores of skin of Karna Dakshai Vishnu or Mahavishnu are so large that universes are coming out. And massive universes. Our universe is one of the very small universes. There are very, very big universes. And recently, I think Aniruddha Prabhu was telling the past time when Lord Brahma went to Dwarka to see Krishna. So the Brahma had four heads. So our Brahma has four heads. Because there are four directions, he looks around and he develops those heads. And according to the expanse or the size of the universe. But there were other Brahmas also present who had tens and millions and millions and millions or thousands of heads. So we can imagine how big other universes would be. And these universes are just emanating from the pores of Mahavishnu. So how huge Mahavishnu is. Like that. So that's the first Purusha incarnation. Then further in each universe, Vishnu again enters as Garbhodakshai Vishnu. And he lies on the Garbhodak ocean. And then further, then when there is secondary creation by Brahma, Lord Vishnu again enters into the heart of everyone and into each atom as Kshirodakshai Vishnu. So this Kshirodakshai Vishnu can be said it's like smaller than the smallest. So same Purusha Avatar, we can see this difference. Each atom is the smallest particle, you can say. In third canto, 11th chapter, when there is a calculation, there is description about calculation of time. So there's that's based on the movement of atoms, I think something like that. But there's, it's mentioned the smallest particle is atom, and then it combines with another atom to give a double atom, and then hexatom, like that. Various description is there. But the point is, the atom is so small, and this Purusha Avatar, the third Purusha Avatar, becomes smaller than the smallest and enters into that atom as well. So that's very inconceivable. So Lord is inconceivable. So that's why we have these descriptions, so that we can understand more about Him. So three verses were about these Purushas, three Purushas. And today's verse we have, we can see there is a description of universal form, or the Virat Purusha, Virat Rupa. And similar descriptions are there in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled The Universal Form. I'll read the verses also, a couple of verses are very similar to today's verse. And further, in this chapter, we'll have after tomorrow's verse and verses after, we'll see that different incarnations, there's description of various incarnations, and what is the purpose of their descent. So each incarnation comes, descends to this material realm for a particular purpose. So that purpose is described. And they come through Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Kshirodakshai Vishnu, like that. The incarnations come. And there is very detailed explanation further about creation. So this topic that we have is called Ishanu Katha. So there are 10 main topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and one of the topic is called Ishanu Katha, or description about the incarnations. And all these 10 topics are present in all the 10 cantos, all the 12 cantos. But there is different emphasis in different cantos. So here in first canto we can see this subject of Ishanu Katha is discussed in this chapter. Different incarnations are mentioned like that. So today's verse, as we know, is about describing, you know, thousands and hands of, and ears and noses of the universal form. So there is similar description actually. Here it says thousands and thousands. In Bhagavad Gita it says unlimited. So thousands, they use the word thousands just to understand that it's, we can't actually imagine, you know. We have seen people with two hands. If you see a person comes with thousands and thousands and unlimited hands, it's very hard to conceive like that. So that's why here in Bhagavad Gita, Arjun requested Krishna that please give me a suitable vision so that I can see that form of yours. With our own capacity, we can't see. So this whole universe or this world, this looks different through ordinary vision. But through the vision with Jnana Chakshu, or with the vision of knowledge, there is it's totally different. So generally, normally the materialists, how they see this world, when they see this world, they want to enjoy it. That, oh, this is a beautiful world, I will enjoy it. I have a nice body, and this world is nice, and this is made for my enjoyment, and I'll enjoy it, I have my plans. But that's not the vision of knowledge. So this body is actually like given. This body is given to suffer. And if one thinks, oh, I'll enjoy with this body in this beautiful world, so that's illusion. So I was reading a news article yesterday where it says in South Africa, just there was a beach and there were warnings that they had spotted a shark, so please don't swim here. And then a man came around the 40s and he just neglected that warning and he went swimming. So, and the shark was there waiting in separation. The shark was in separation. So when the swimmer came, shark became ecstatic and for his close association came very and pretty much chopped off the legs. I think he survived, was airlifted and further. So the warning was there that this is a dangerous place, don't go there. But no, the man was thinking, no, I will enjoy. How dare these council people or this, they cannot stop my enjoyment. So same way, people in this world, they think, oh, we can enjoy. But there are these warnings given in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these scriptures, that no, this is a dukhalayam ashashvatam, this is a place of misery. How can you enjoy? But people say, no, they just disregard. Give a blind eye, no, I will enjoy. And then when something happens, how can God do this? There is no God. You know? So warnings are there, you just have to follow that. So that's the vision of blind people. So with knowledge you can see, oh, this world is actually not very good. We cannot enjoy. So that's why when Arjuna saw this universal form, he said, oh, rupam gauram idring mamedam, that this is like a horrific scene which I am seeing, you know. Soldiers are rushing into your gaping mouths and they are being crushed. So a person with knowledge, he can see, oh, there is actually everyone is going to die and we are suffering from disease and old age. So that's the vision of knowledge. So how can we enjoy in such a place where we are surrounded by these dangers? At every step, padam padam yad vibhnam, at every step there is a danger. So there is no, we cannot actually enjoy materially. Only devotees can enjoy, because for them it's just energy of Krishna and they use it for Krishna, that's yukta vairagya. So then they actually, they are not after enjoyment, personal enjoyment. They are after Krishna's satisfaction and enjoyment, but they also enjoy because we are part of Krishna. So if we act for the satisfaction of Krishna, then we are actually satisfied. So here these verses of 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, here it says, Aneka Vaktra Nayanam, Aneka Adbhuta Darshanam, Aneka Divya Baranam, Divya Neko Dhyata Yudam, Divya Malyam Baradharam, Divya Gandhanu Lepanam, Sarvasharya Mayam Devam, Anantam Vishvato Mukham. Arjuna said, in that universal form, unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions, Arjuna saw. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and wore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding. Yeah, so he saw the beauty of that form, these different garlands and garments, but he also saw how everyone was being crushed by the effect of time. So further in 11th canto, Krishna, when Arjuna asked, when he saw this form, he was totally bewildered and he said, what is your mission, you know? Why have you come? I don't know you actually. I was thinking, oh, you are my friend and brother and I spend so much time with you joking and but I actually, now when I see this form of yours, I can't understand who you are and what is your mission. So then Krishna said, Kaloham lokakshay krit pravido, that I am time and I have come to kill everyone. So that's for materialists. For devotees, there is no effect. The death doesn't death has no effect on devotees, because devotees have the consciousness that we are the soul and there is no death for the soul. So when Prahlad Maharaj, at the end of his term on this planet, he was going back to Vaikuntha planet, to the total spiritual world. So then he stepped over the head of death and went on the plane that was there to take him like that. So for devotees there is no concept of death like that. So that's the vision of knowledge. So with this vision actually we can see the world as it is actually. Otherwise we'll be just seeing, you know, the trailer or the advertisement, you know. When we see in the television, they show the advertisement. It's very attractive. The product looks very attractive, but when you buy it, it's just bogus. you lose so much money there, and there are further problems like that. So here in this, actually it's very interesting that this verse, the translation speaks about universal form, but in the purport, Prabhupada just speaks about the beautiful form, two-handed form of Krishna. So there he says, you know, with our present materialized senses, we cannot see the transcendental form of Lord. So he's referring to the two-handed original form of Krishna. And there, Prabhupada also says in Brahma Samhita, when it's mentioned, when if someone has this ointment of love, or ointment of devotional service as is in the purport, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hirdeshu vilokayanti. So devotees have this ointment of love on the eyes, and then they can actually see Krishna all the time within the heart and everywhere. Externally, internally, they can see Krishna all the time. So that's the thing we should buy. If we know where this kind of ointment is available, so then we should go there and buy it like that. So this, with this ointment of love, we can actually see Krishna in each and every, at each and every moment and in each and every thing like that. But what is the situation of materialists? I was hearing in one lecture, it's very funny also. So there, the verse of Brahma Samhita is premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. So prema, the eyes are anointed with the ointment of love. So if you see what is the ointment in the eyes of materialists, so that's kama or lust. Instead of love, they have lust. So, kamanjana churita bhukti vilochanena. So, bhakti means the devotional service and bhukti is the material sense gratification. So, for materialists, the verse is changed. It's kamanjana churita bhukti vilochanena. So they have so much lust that in everything they see how to enjoy. This thing is for me and I want to enjoy. And actually one acharya, I forgot the name, but he has said that in this day and age, Kali Yuga, actually everyone, they are like hit by the waves of lust at every moment. Like wave after wave. If you see the ocean, and in this chapter actually later it describes the incarnation comes. They as the waves, unlimited. Waves means unlimited. If you go on the shore of the sea, there are unlimited waves are coming. So the materialists, they are having these unlimited waves of lust. At each moment they are just struck by one wave after other wave. If one materialist is walking in the city, so he just sees sense gratification everywhere. He's walking and people are coming, he sees opposite gender, wave after wave, oh, this is for my enjoyment. Sees a shop, okay, oh, that thing is for my enjoyment. Like that, wave after wave. And the whole life goes. Even in old age, you also doesn't, the desires don't go away. even in old age. So many people have this conception, okay, when I become old, I'll do these spiritual activities or philanthropic activities. But that actually doesn't happen. Even in old age, those desires still remain. And it becomes so frustrating that actually you have the same desires. Just imagine, you have same desires as you are a young person, but your body doesn't allow you to enjoy the sense objects. So how frustrating it becomes for old people. It's very frustrating for a materialistic old person who has so much lust, but he cannot do anything with it. His body doesn't allow. And he just waits, and he just sits and waits for death to come. And the body becomes just useless, gets so many diseases. So like that. Kamanjana. So their eyes are anointed with this lust. So we have to change the vision like that. And by hearing these pastimes, by regularly hearing these pastimes, we can actually change that vision. So it's so important actually to understand the details of these pastimes and how Krishna comes in this world, how he leaves. It's very important to understand the intricacies. Then that's like Krishna is revealing himself in this literature, and if we understand these intricacies, then we go back to Godhead. Bhagavad Gita 4.9, what does Krishna say? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma neti mam eti sorjuna. So one who understands these intricacies of my activities and appearance like that, so then he can go back to Godhead. So his appearance, although he is unborn, he is still born. His disappearance, all are very mystical, very inconceivable, very difficult to understand. So here we see that there is a creation, that there is appearance of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then further Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, and then through them different incarnations come. So it's very confusing. So here in verses 21st, 22nd incarnation, Krishna and Balram are mentioned. That there is Krishna and Balram. So there is so much, there is like a misconception in India. Many people say, you know, Krishna and Balram are incarnations of Vishnu. And here it's, you can see, it's all are coming through Vishnu, and they are, Krishna and Balram are also listed. The Shastric reference is there. And there are many other Shastric references which people who are demoniac, they use those Shastric references to just prove a point which is, you know, out of context. So there is in Mahabharata and few other scriptures, there is mentioned that actually Krishna and Balram are like incarnations of hair of Vishnu, of Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu had a white hair and a black hair. So he just, when he wanted that these incarnations appear of Krishna and Balram, he just plucked those hair, and then the incarnations came. One hair went in the womb of Rohini, one went in the womb of Devaki, and then Krishna and Balram was born. So these are just misconceptions, and there are they take out of context. There are mentioned, but the meaning is something else. So Krishna's activities and appearance and disappearance, it's very hard to know. And so many activities actually people doubt, you know. How did he, you know, how was Karna killed? By cheating in the war of Kurukshetra. Karna was killed by cheating. And so many other things. He had so many wives, so many affairs, and you know, so many things. And when he disappeared, Krishna died, you know, a hunter shot him. Actually, yesterday I had a very interesting experience. So I was distributing books, and I met, I think, the first person actually, and he was coming towards me. He had Kanti Mala also. I said, oh, you have beads like me. He said, yeah, I got it from temple shop. I said, oh, very good. He was a very nice, submissive and favorable person. He had bought a book also before. So he said, oh, I have a question. Is it true that Krishna was crucified under a tree? I said, oh, not quite correct, but yeah, he was under a tree and then a hunter shot arrow on his foot and then he left this planet. So I just explained a little bit that actually Krishna is never born or he never dies, but that's how his pastimes are very transcendental. So he performs these pastimes so that demons, demoniac people, they have some proof. Okay, see, Krishna also died, he left a physical form like that. Because Krishna is the one who gives forgetfulness. So he has to provide these proofs. Okay, see, these proofs are there. Okay. Yeah, the incarnation of hair, and see, Krishna dies like that. When Krishna left, the queens of Dwarka, they were kidnapped. Like that. So all these things are totally taken out of context by demoniac people. So that's why it's so important to understand the intricacies of these pastimes of Krishna. And that we can only do by very thorough study of Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. In last chapter actually of 12th canto, which is the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse where it says that to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to, I'll just read the last line, it's very interesting. So it says, Tat Shrinvan Supatan Vicharana Parau Bhaktya Vimuchyena Nara. So you hear it and Supatan, nicely study it and then meditate. So there the word, as we know, the Brahmanas have six activities, Yajan Yajan, Patan Patan, Dan Pratigra. So they perform sacrifice, teach others to perform sacrifice. They take charitable gifts, they give charity. And they study, Patan is study, and they teach the Shastra. But here the word in reference to Srimad Bhagavatam, they Supatan. Supatan means very deep and serious study of Srimad Bhagavatam is required. Then actually we will be able to understand these intricacies of Krishna. And so many qualities and pastimes are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. So then actually we know, okay, that's who we are dealing with. If we know the qualities of a person, then actually we know his standard, you know. So in Nectar of Devotion, we have, Krishna has actually unlimited qualities, we cannot count. But in the main ones, there are 64 mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. And there are four qualities which no one else has but Krishna. Even the expansions of Krishna, they don't have those qualities. And they are so attractive that if we hear about them, or if we just meditate that, oh, what these qualities are, what that person would be like, so then our attraction is revived, our attraction for Krishna. So four qualities are, we know that Leela Madhuri, their pastimes are inconceivable. He is surrounded by so many wonderful devotees who are fully surrendered, who have full love for Krishna. Gopas and gopis. And his flute is very wonderful. When he plays his flute, everyone in the creation is attracted. And his form, his beautiful form. There is no comparison to his beauty. So these are the four qualities. Even Lakshmi Devi, who is the associate of Lord Narayan, one of the expansions of Krishna, she was attracted by the pastime of Krishna, Rasa Leela, and she wanted to enter, but she couldn't. So that proves that there is no comparison. Krishna is asaman ordva. Asaman means there is no one equal to Krishna, and urdva means there is no one who can excel Krishna. So no one is equal to him, no one can excel him. So he is just beyond comparison. So this process of developing love for Krishna, or just applying this ointment of love, it's worth it, our effort to do that, to this hear Srimad Bhagavatam constantly. So at the moment, if we see, we are in separation of Krishna. Because of our wrong desire or wrong decision to leave spiritual world, we are here. And so we have to go back. So we have to start generally people, materialists, they don't feel any separation from Krishna. They don't have any knowledge of Krishna. But slowly, slowly, devotees from neophytes to further Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama, Adhikari, they try to increase this feeling of separation from Krishna. And in, I think in Chaitanya Charitamrita it's mentioned. So how to develop these, this quality of separation? There are two things. So one is to always think about these qualities of Krishna. If you are in separation with a person, you think, oh, this person is like that. You think about the qualities of that person. So same way, to develop this mood of separation, we think of the qualities of Krishna. And second is we keep a very strong desire and just think of ways how to meet Krishna. Like that. So how can we do that? The Krishna is manifest where He is glorified. So Narad Muni, he says, Naham tishthami vaikunthe yogi nam hridayeshuva tatra tishthami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. So it was spoken to Narad Muni by Lord Narayan. So he, so Krishna says, you know, I don't go where I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the hearts of yogis. It's not that he's not there, he's there as well. But where does he like to go? Where he likes to go where devotees are glorifying him. In the association of devotees, when there is a discussion of Krishna, like here. So here Krishna is present. And there is another verse, very interesting verse by Vritrasura in 6th canto. I'll just read that. So this is 6.11.24. So here Vritrasura says, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O my Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. So that's the real mood to have while doing service, is to always, you know, think about the pleasure of Lord and His devotees, His pure devotees. And then we want to take association with such devotees. And what do we do in association? We discuss the qualities and pastimes of Krishna. Machitta matgat prana bodhyanta parasparam kathyantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. So the devotees, they are always relishing these pastimes and they are always conversing about Krishna and qualities of Krishna, past the glories of holy name and the different pastimes. And then they actually tushyanti charamanti cha. They are actually satisfied and they take pleasure in that, like that. So the holy name itself, as we know, it's like it's filled with full nectar, like that. It's the treasure house. Golokera Premdan Hari Nam Sankirtan. So there it says actually, like in temple we have treasury, in different offices they have this treasury, or in the banks you see this treasury. So what is the treasury of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So there's two things in that treasury. So in that treasury we have the love of God or Krishna praying, and we have the holy name. So this is real treasure. We should aim for that treasure. And anyone can access it, but the qualification is required. It's not by birth, it doesn't matter where you are born, which family you are born. But the qualification is, you just be submissively take this process of devotional service like that. And more we actually The process is to taste the nectar and then distribute it. So the three, as we know, the three main activities we have in ISKCON, we have Harinam Sankirtan, Prasadam distribution and book distribution. So it's not that we just distribute, we also take it and then distribute it. So holy name, we chant Hare Krishna in Japa, in Kirtan, we taste the holy name, we develop our taste, we learn how to develop our taste, and then we distribute to others. And same, book distribution, we distribute the books, but at the same time we read the books also, we should read the books. I was hearing in one country, they just increased their book distribution by amazing proportions. And all the book distributors, they were instructed, you must read 1.5 hours minimum every day. So unless we take the nectar, what will we give others like that? It's very hard to preach others if we don't take the nectar. Same prasadam distribution, we distribute to others and we also take. And we honor it very nicely as the mercy of Krishna. And then there's full nectar there. So by this process, it's so powerful and ecstatic that, you know, there's no loss. And yesterday we were reading a verse with one devotee. There's in first canto, fifth chapter, the verse says, even if one is immature in this process, and he falls down, even then there is no loss. There is no loss. And Bhagavad Gita also says there is no loss or diminution on this path. Even if you do a little bit, there is no loss. But for a materialist, even if he does all his activities, or whatever he does, and he does that perfectly, then what is the gain for him? Because at the end of life, everything becomes zero. Then you have to take birth again. Maybe he comes as a dog. So what's the use of working so hard in that life? So that's the thing. So there is no loss. This is a whole nectarian process, but we should take it very seriously, and then we can develop this this vision, which will be full of love, and then we can see Krishna everywhere. So I'll stop there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Okay, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.